The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 6th of February, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And listen, we have a lot to talk about, but let's get the rules straight. Normally, I like to wait a day so I could go home, read all the articles back and forth, front to back, multiple times before we have a conversation, but this is in the news today. So we're going to be reading from the papers. We're going to be very careful, right? I am going to read directly from the newspaper. We are going to be very careful how we editorialize, contextualize in our conversations what it is we read and hear today. Let's be very, very careful because these are heavy, heavy subjects. We've got Bastien and Fox deny Epstein association in today's Nassau Guardian, and on the Tribune side, quote, "I don't do fool," close quotes, Sebas blasts Epstein file trafficking claims. Then in today's Tribune, drop China deal, and another headline from the Tribune, U.S. envoy, Chinese hospital deal, quote, "not in Bahamas' interests," close quotes. That for me is the top story. However, before we get there was a traffic fatality last night in Abaco. Another unfortunate and, of course, needless death on the roads of the archipelago of the Bahamas. This one struck me, pun was not intended, because yesterday I had the misfortune, although I had attended a wonderful thing, to be on the road at about 4:30. And let me just tell y'all something. Y'all worried about Herschel Walker and Trump. When I become president of the Bahamas, 75% of y'all will not be allowed to drive. Imagine that you spend almost 10 minutes not moving, bumper to bumper, on the west side, on the western side of the old bridge. And when you cross over to the eastern side of the old bridge, the traffic clears significantly, even though you're not moving much quicker, right? And I realized after I passed over the old bridge that there's no traffic. We haven't actually reached car saturation in New Providence yet, you know. We just have no sense of space, time, or location, primarily because most of you are on your phones when you're supposed to be navigating traffic. There is no productivity in the country. There cannot be productivity in the country. See, every day we turn to the newspapers to hear politicians and state actors give us excuse after excuse, shrouded in powdery and poetic language about why they can't meet their timelines, why things take so long to happen. Well, it's because there's no productivity, because ain't nobody watching the clock. Nobody's paying attention to anything. That was the most frustrating day. Started in the morning by watching a man hold two cell phones up while he was driving, like he was in an office meeting, to the most ridiculous. Producer, pop the phone line. I just wonder, is this a Christian nation? Is it? Because far too many of y'all behave like criminals to keep claiming Christ. Good morning, caller. Welcome to On the Clock.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How you doing?
Hi, good, thank you.
Yeah, I want to chime in on that topic. You said that we have not yet reached car saturation in Nassau.
No, we haven't reached.
We have 3 cubes per one person in one household.
Household
probably have, but 7 people, because 7 people is crowded up in one house in Nassau.
Listen, we still haven't reached saturation point yet. The traffic backups, you stuck and you ain't moving. That's nothing but drivers who disregard the rules of the road, have no idea what the dynamics of driving and traffic are, and make the wildest decisions. Like, you know how many people now come to a complete stop in the middle of the road and the corner they're turning into, as if they've never been through this road before. They're not even sure if they're still in the Bahamas.
See, I can stop you right there. That's the way you're wrong, right? You say, you made a statement just now, said that when they decide to make a decision, first of all, you have to actually care about something to make a decision. They don't care. They ain't trying to decide. They just jump in their car and press gas.
I want to ask a question. But the news so hot today, I don't know if people could hear the question when I ask it, right? I want to ask people, like an interactive show, do you have an inner monologue? Do you have an inner monologue? When you thinking, do you hear yourself thinking? Because that's the thing for me. Are people thinking at all?
I don't care.
That's a part of it. It's extremely, extremely tragic, because in the face of rapidly increasing rates of accidents and fatalities, right, we have a administration and a police force that seem to be oblivious, as if they don't understand how their actions, right, or lack of actions, impact the country. To follow yesterday's conversation about what is stupid, right? What is stupid is giving up on traffic enforcement. What is stupid is not realizing that traffic enforcement and road management is one of the most effective and efficient, the easiest tools that the state has to moderate public behavior. It is a teaching tool. It is a reminder. It is a deterrent. It is a discipliner. Right? It is a space within which people have to reconcile with moderating their behavior to follow the law. But if nobody's enforcing the law, then that tool becomes not just useless, it flips over in the reverse. It becomes detrimental, right? So, like this morning, when I drove past a police officer who was driving so slow that he would be obstructing traffic because he was on his cell phone, right? Or yesterday, driving on the road and realizing that there are police officers still in 2026 who are conducting mobile patrols with all their windows up. They're supposed to be patrolling communities, but their windows are up. They can't hear anything. Well, you know, it was stupid. 2 days ago, I was on the road trying to get out of Burger King to get back to Village Road. And after countless vehicles are obviously not paying attention to other cars pass and block up the roadway, this kind gentleman stopped his vehicle to let me out. I said thank you to him. And in saying thank you to him, I realized he didn't have on his seatbelt. Far too handsome to be out here risking your life with no seatbelt on. He went to pick up the seatbelt to put it on and realized that he exposed the beer bottle that was in his hand. So I was in a good mood. I said, man, you gotta be careful out there, because when I become a police, I gotta be miserable on this road. And as I drove, the light turned green, and as I proceeded forward, I could hear him saying in the background, like a beautiful Bahamian song, "You talking to one now?" That's stupid, sir. That's what's stupid. Having a roadblock, right, that results in almost a three-mile backup, right? But not assigning officers to patrol the route so that you could interdict, you could catch, you could observe the behavior of people who become anxious because they realize they may be in a roadblock and are trying to avoid it. That's what stupid is. Let's go to the text line. Good morning. This is nothing new. Most of our leaders come from environments that are mixed up and have a confused mentality. Even with their education, they did not change. They are deep in their emotions and on the wrong things, not our people's health. We go into that story. You know what cars are doing now? When coming out of corners, they are putting their car into the road. You actually have to swerve around them. No, these are not blind corners. You know, on a properly designed road, there'd be a white line where they have to wait until the way is clear. Not in Nassau, not in Narnia. You know where that happens a lot? Everywhere. People who are trying to get out onto the main road will block the entrance to the corner they're in, so you're forced to let them out to be able to enter the corner. You know who's do that too? Polices do that all the time. It's a madness. Good morning, Aaron. And there are plenty. Okay. Because they said Haitians next. I go read it quickly. And their friends, with all those cars running business. Okay, so there are plenty Haitians and their friends, families, and lovers with all those cars running businesses of rental rideshare, underage drivers, no proper driver's license, and all kinds of illegal stuff. They even have those off-road vehicles. Please, police, traffic, and immigration department, block this island and see the behaviors of the people in our country, and don't be afraid to do your job. I like all of this except for the idea that you're singling out one category of migrant as if they are responsible for all this lawlessness. Like, I like the whole thing until you got there, right? Until you got right there. I could tell you, if I tell you all what my white neighbor told me when I blew my horn to ensure that he didn't hit the tow truck speeding behind me as my neighbor was running the stop sign. Oh, if I tell you all what my white, very influential, wealthy neighbor told me. It ain't just people of Haitian descent or Haitians. It's everybody. Where if I tell you all the story about the incident with the Corps diplomat car at the food fest about 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago, if I tell you all that story, it's not just poor black scrubby people. In fact, I find this behavior, I observe it in wealthy people, upper middle class people, people who could afford new cars, people. I do not like how you tried to slur a whole group of people just now. It's judges. Sorry, let me rephrase that. It's people in vehicles assigned to judges and magistrates and top officials. It's everybody. I can tell you all the story. I told you all the story about how the man in the red plate threatened to do me right in, because I didn't let him out because it was safer to proceed to the red light in front of me, let traffic come to a natural stop, and then someone would let him proceed. The boy in the red plate threatened to bring me to a place close to death. It ain't just who you trying to tell us it is. So, two stories, but the one I'm starting with, drop China deal. The headline might have just said, just drop dead then. Next time, say what needs to be said. Just drop dead then. Drop China deal, Nassau Tribune. Quote, we stand ready to work with Bahamas to secure better hospital deal, says U.S. Ambassador Walker. That's just like that thing yesterday where the Minister of Health said, we're looking to re-engage, right? We're looking to bring in nurses from Ghana. If you were serious, you would have had a bag of money on the podium when you were speaking, sir, because right now we're dropping down dead, waiting for our own government to figure out how they're going to save our life. You think we have time, space, energy, or the capacity for China and the United States of America to play proxy war in the Bahamas? Our citizens are dropping down dead while the political class could afford to fly to the Dominican Republic for all kinds of health care. For a moment, I wondered if this was the most ironic moment in global politics where in one fell swoop, Trump makes it plain and clear to us that for a U.S. visa, your politicians will let you die. Is it harsh commentary? No. Is it critical? Yes. As critical as each patient's case is who is trying to get service in the public healthcare system. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Listen to me. You're talking a little about the hospital and the this and the that. Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little about the resignation that was read in the Senate on yesterday.
All right, that's Seymour, Maxine, yeah. Seymour's resignation. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me tell the audience. If you have your Guardian in hand, there's an article in today's paper, Seymour resigns from Senate. Go on.
I listened to her reading it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she proofread that before she read it.
Okay.
That is why she broke down and had to sit down when she started crying.
Mm-hmm.
She couldn't believe they write that for her to read.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so funny, in less than 4 hours, they already had a replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she was replaced by Miss Nicole Martin. Now, I have nothing against Nicole Martin. I kind of know Nicole Martin kind of very well.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing to this is, I can't see how Miss Martin fall for that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Miss Martin got that Senate post for the next, it ain't going to be longer than 6 months.
Roughly,
you
yeah.
You sure of that?
Yeah, yeah.
That is to block her from going in to run
as an independent
candidate.
Mm-hmm. I got you. Well, listen, what an interesting introspection. A second caller, what happened, caller? What an interesting introspection, right? Because I thought about it as well. Here's what I know. I know that Senator Maxine Water, I'm going to call her Maxine Water, Seymour, is a dedicated team player, right? She's a dedicated person, dedicated to the mission, right? And her mission outside of politics is protection of women, children, and vulnerable people in the country. She's dedicated to that. And she has been dedicated to the party. So I could understand why she broke down, because I think she was expecting to be renominated, right? Even though she lost the last time. I think she expected that her commitment to the party, playing her role by focusing on the issues that she is dedicated to, would be sufficient to get the nomination. I feel for all the people who feel like they have been used by their party. It ain't just the FNM alone. It's the PLP, too. They got to take a look at how their internal party culture impacts the party members and the wider country and governance in the country. Now, Uncle, you had a deep dive into the FNM. Be sure that people calling in to try give a deep dive into the PLP, too. Let's go to the phone line, producer, before we get back to the drop China deal story. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. Are you there?
Yes, ma'am. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
And I'm great, darling. We're talking about so much different things this morning, but let me go to the hospital first.
Yes.
Let me tell you how Bahamians operate. Bahamians never believe another Bahamian's view, their boss man.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. We still have the slave mentality. We all believe a white man or a foreigner would be in charge of us.
Mm-hmm.
When they brought in the people that run the airport, Nassau International Airport in Nas, everybody mm-hmm. made noise from it, but it's running efficiently now.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is up to date. And these government entities in this country, we have to bring in people to run these organizations because that's the bottom line. Once President believe they wait for government, you can't tell them nothing. You can't fire them, the union protect them, what have you. It ain't a good thing for our country.
But okay, hold on. You see that space right there? That's so fascinating. Panel-worthy discussion, because I think what it is that we, like you said, we refuse to rule to a black man.
Yeah.
And it appears as if the working force will neglect the authority of a Bahamian. It's like the culture just shifts. Oh, we ain't gonna take this serious.
Yeah, but that's what it is. You know, that hospital, you know, we said we're building a new hospital, right? Building a new hospital. But building a new hospital and getting the same attitude to the new hospital still don't make no sense.
Exactly.
You understand me? Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, I'm a pilot for 34 years. I fly in for 34 years.
Yes, sir.
Bringing people from the island on emergency flights.
Yes,
and
sir.
Let me give you an experience.
Okay.
I brought in a patient one day. The following day, I brought the next patient. It wasn't that serious, you know, so I decided to drive them to the hospital because the ambulance taking so long to come mm-hmm. to the airport. When we got there, the patient I brought there the day before was still sitting there waiting for service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we can say what we want, say, but listen, money this and money that, you know, but we have to bring in people to be in charge of these organizations in our country. That's what happened, you know. Everybody want money, but nobody want pay. Everybody crying break, but every summer, everybody can't do a whole family vacation, going doing what they have to do. Mm-hmm. You understand me? That's how behemoth, that's the mentality of behemoths. And then when they come off the vacation, they watching what everybody else is doing. You watch the Chinese, the Jamaicans, the Haitians. Look how they coming in this country taking over. They supporting each other. We don't support one another in this country.
Mm-hmm. We would rather park our fancy cars outside the house so we could cut our eye at each other than collectively invest in public health care, in education through libraries and educational institutions. In fact, we have a problem where we refuse to acknowledge that we are spending money that should be diverted to collective national development on disposable personal experiences.
Yeah, that's true, darling. And I must congratulate you. You seem to be a very fair person on the radio, because I listen to all the talk show, and you seem to be a very fair person and call it how you see it. You know what I mean? Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And the same to you. The Family Islanders are obviously relying on you and have done so for a number of years. Thank you for your service. Good morning, caller.
Ms. Green.
Hi, morning.
I would like to ask you to respond to a statement that you made, and will you provide me an opportunity to respond after you do?
Okay.
You said, for a visa, the politicians would let you die.
Right, but in the broader context, it appears as if Trump exposed, like, it's a foreign policy strategy where you set citizens against their leaders, right, by painting a narrative of what's happening. And it appears as if Trump has created a situation to paint a narrative for us and other countries in the region to question whether your leaders would sell you out for a U.S. visa in relation to healthcare, right? For a visa that will provide them access to healthcare that they cannot provide for you in your own country.
Okay, so see, when I said earlier
mm-hmm.
that the visa system is representing a form of the mark of the beast, you have to, if you don't take this mark, you can't do business. And one of the reasons why politicians are not having anything much to say about Donald Trump and all whatever bull he's running on with is because they're afraid that they won't be able to travel, so that visa is being used as a mark.
It's being used as... Yeah, I got you.
You following
Yeah, no, man, I'm following you.
And if you look at every other communist country around the world, you can't speak against the leader because he's the beast.
Yeah. And
Trump has become the beast, and our politicians are bearing the mark of the visa from the beast. I don't need a visa. They do. So that means they have the mark.
I appreciate your interpretation.
And even some of the religious leaders got the same Trump mark.
I got you.
You feel me, my dear?
I scared, but I feel you.
All right.
I feel you. And I scared. I scared about these conversations, right? Don't mind the joke. That's just to make myself brave enough to say it. I scared, right? Because I got privilege and I got a visa and I could travel, maybe not after the show, but I could travel, right? But things, the people who can't travel, people who ain't gonna never get a visa, people who may never have enough money to benefit from a visa, right? Like, where's their voice? I scared. I got American brothers and sisters who, if I don't have a visa, I may never get to travel to see them. Ever again. There are many of us in that situation where our families are just as much American as they are Bahamian. And what happens if, for some circumstance, I could never travel to see my family again? Let's go to the text line. Good morning. They may be understaffed with their consultants. All governments have been employing consultants and getting no positive results. I don't know if they listen to the consultants. Good morning, Aaron and Bahamas. Justice should not be seen as the utmost concern only at election time. If there is evidence that anybody is doing anything that is contrary to law and order, then deal with it there and now. Don't beat around the bush waiting to score some kind of political mileage. Any allegations of impropriety against anybody should be held up to the light to be seen for what it truly is. And if it is not deemed fit to face the light of day, then trash it, because most certainly it then gives me concern and reason to believe otherwise. Thank you, Texter. Here's another text. If Herschel Walker can fund abortions, maybe he can help us fund a new hospital. Listen, that's Herschel Walker, the football player. I think Herschel Walker, the ambassador. Maxine said over a year ago that she was not intending to nominate for this general election, so a resignation can't be related to any nomination. Okay, yes, it can. It could be related to the fact that Nicole Martin didn't get a nomination. Like the caller said, she's a formidable woman, a force to be reckoned with. Perhaps someone whose independent campaign will hold true weight and impact the spread of votes between the FNM and the PLP and now the COI, and then Bahamas Constitution Party leader has indicated that she's nominating. The party may come on board as well. The DNA said they are looking possibly to make a play as well. So it could be related to a nomination, just not her nomination. Look, Ms. Seymour was fired. Her replacement was too immediate. I believe she was a staunch supporter of Dr. Minnis. Those are my thoughts, and sooner or later, the truth will surface. I don't think Ms. Seymour plays that type of politics. You know? Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, good morning, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, I know you've already said yourself, Aaron, but I don't want to comment too much on the Jeffrey Epstein situation, you know?
Well, but you could comment on it, but you be careful.
But I'll wait for the NIGOT case to come up.
That's up, mate.
That's more closer to this region than Jeffrey Epstein.
A database of 7,700 names.
Yes. Now I've been prosecuted, NIGOT in jail, all that stuff, but nothing has happened yet in terms of persons who we know was attending with the U.S. Embassy described one year as wild parties.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I'll wait to see where that headed. But I only would agree with the boss and Mr. Fox when they concluded by saying that they hope that justice will prevail with innocent children.
You know, but mm-hmm. it begs the bigger question, you know, Aaron, because you know I've been a child's rights advocate now for over 20 years.
Yes, sir.
And I'm now beginning to see, as these new developments come out, why I was alienated from being a part of anything in government pertaining to protection of children, despite getting the Child Protection Act passed in Parliament and being recognized for my effort by the U.S. Embassy. But locally here in the Bahamas, they don't want nothing to do with me, which is fine, but I'm now saying...
Hold on, Duncan, you saw what happened over the last 10 years. We stopped using statutory rape, and now we call it unlawful sexual intercourse.
Have
right?
I seen it? I was very adamant and frustrated against it, but that's what they do. You know, they cloak these pedophiles, and I don't know for what reason why they prefer to protect the pedophile over the child, mm-hmm. but that's what they do. But, Aaron, you know, you and I touched on the hospital yesterday, and I'm now seeing the U.S. ambassador talking to the Bahamas government about to slow that particular thing down, and it's a bad deal. We know it's a bad deal. As a man in the country, I know that it's a bad deal. But obviously, you know, Dr. Darrell was prepared to go full speed ahead without listening to the dissenting voices and try to see how best we can do it. Because we don't really need, I don't, I really believe we need a general hospital. And I don't know why we can't have renovations and have this new structure, general hospital that is, specializing in certain things. We could do that. Why do a specialty hospital when you could do a general hospital that specializes in these type of prenatal care, women who are giving birth?
You worried about that? You know what concerns me? Where they put the hospital? That's the most important thing. Where they put the hospital?
I believe it's for the rich and elite. That's what I believe. I don't think it's for the common person. Our one is on East, just off East Street. And they can get to that later, you know. But I don't believe it's really for us here locally. It's for some other rich people. That's what I honestly believe. But I hope that the government wouldn't turn this into some serious geopolitics and try to be defiant. And rather, as opposed to slowing this project down and working out the details. Because the Bahamas is a benefit.
Duncan, I got to move on, right? But I only been waiting to ask you like one question, right?
Yeah.
A bad deal hospital is still better than no hospital, eh?
I mean, not necessarily.
I don't think that you think the U.S. going to build us a hospital? And I don't mean like out of the goodness of their heart, you know. I mean,
no, but they said that the president is willing to work a better deal.
Yeah, Darvill said they look into to hire Ghana nurses. All of this is just air. It's just pie in the sky. All of this is just talk. They just keep giving us promises. I ready for a hospital now.
So Aaron, I'll leave with this. We have about 60,000 Americans living here in the Bahamas. Eh?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure they would look out for what is the best interest of their citizens.
I mean, I don't have a problem with that either, Cleve. I'm going to tell you, as an advocate, right? I've already promulgated that position globally, right?
Right.
I participated in one of the IVLPs, one of the State Department programs, and it's a Caribbean cohort, and everybody's focus was, can you fund my programs? Despite the fact that we had already been told that these organizations can't fund non-American organizations, right? But I put the point on the table at a structural level, right? That at that tax level, perhaps something needs to shift for the Caribbean, because there are the 60,000 in the Bahamas. There are millions and millions and millions and millions, scores of millions of Americans living, working, and traveling through the Caribbean on a yearly basis. Any security measures, any social structure support measures will inherently and indubitably impact positively the lives of the Americans that are here, right?
Well, I call on the ambassador, Aaron. Let's leave it this way, because I'm sure they listen to your show. I'm calling on the ambassador to start, let's move forward. Present the proposal to the government and let's see what happens.
Okay, I hear
we'll
that.
We'll just talk.
I like that, then. I like that. You could say that. I like that. Show the work. Bring us the storyboard. Show us how you intend on doing it, and it's not just a talking point. I like that.
Exactly.
Thank you. I got another caller waiting, and all these words in my head waiting. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Thank you for your patience. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for Julian, right? I think that's his name, Mr.
Listen, hold on. Let me preface this. I told him, hey, you took a look into the FNM dynamic. Expect that FNM's going to take a look into the PLP dynamic.
No, I just want to know who was the deputy prime minister mentioned in the Epstein file who they spoke of on October 1st, 2012.
Now, okay, here's my question for you before we move on. How do we confirm what date orientation was being used in that email system?
Because it states it in it.
Okay.
So, you know, the thing about this, right, we all know ain't nothing going to happen, but we have a culture of corruption, as stated in the other documents, in the court documents, and by very virtue of just listening to the talk shows and our various different talking points. You know, we don't, you know, drugs, I've seen no such thing happen in the Bahamas. Gun running? Nah. Shipwrecking? Nah. Rum running? Nah. You know, just look at NIGAD. Molestation of young children? Nah, ain't it? Stuff like that don't happen here. Just, you know, the way we're trying to do it. You know what we do? We always use the standard, like, yeah, but we corrupt. But we ain't as corrupt as them.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Even do it in our politics. You know, and this is why we can get away with it.
Here's a new one that's popped up, right? In the midst of the anti-immigration discussion, I've had people say aloud, no, I have a right. I have the right to break the law in my own country. They don't have a right to break the law in my country.
that's that. And so what I'm saying to you, culture takes decades to develop.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know, they say, right, if each of us individually decide if you want to change, it only takes us 66 days.
I'm telling you.
Okay, so you could have decades of culture, but if we individually or even as a family decide to change, in 66 days, we could change the country. But I want to speak to the hospital for a second.
Okay, and then I got to go. I got another call on the break.
You spoke about funding for NGOs, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop being a beggar nation. Mm-hmm. We are now in the 21st century, and believe it or not, we can learn from America, and this is where you can begin to look at the resources. Because if we understand what we are asking for, funding, believe it or not, a grouping of nonprofit agencies can very easily create an environment to generate $50 to $100 million a year just for charity work because of the new dispensation we are in. We'll talk about that another day, but let's just go back to the hospital. All we have to do is know what it is what we want. We talk about the insufficient workforce. So clearly it doesn't make sense to build a hospital if you don't have this workforce or the resources that sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
So in the conversation with the offer that has been extended to us, we just need to be able to copy an autonomous self-funding, self-running type debate. But when we talk about where the money is in this country, all we have to look at, as my family often talk about on a weekly basis, we develop our pathway to a new digital platform, there is billions of dollars sitting in our data silos. Just use an example, just in this. We talk about carbon credits, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can call you off, right? So just enough to say it, but listen to me. I can show you, and I want and test it, that $1 billion a year has been lost while we're trying to decide how to do it when it's in the public open space of how it's already been done. And that's the problem, is that we suffer from paralysis of analysis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And paralysis from analysis and lack of action.
Thank you. Thank you, C. Allen. Let's go to the next caller, and then we're going to go to a break. Let's see. Caller, are you there?
Aaron Green.
Hi.
Marvin Deems with Jeffrey Epstein Files.
Hold on. I'm so glad I can't hear you clearly on this phone.
Yeah. Marvin Deems. Question Marvin Deems with Files, okay?
Listen.
What happened?
No. Here's what happened. Your radio was on, and I could not hear all of your words clearly. I was trying to tell you to turn down the radio, but I heard that name clearly, right? And then I heard you say, ask him about files. Okay, that's what he said. Producer, you ready to take us to a break? And when you play that song again, if you have it up, you also heard the song I opened the show with? Just two Bahamian boys somewhere in the States with two little acoustic guitar and one tom-tom drum. I don't know if it's a tom-tom drum for real, but it's one Bahamian goatskin drum. That's one sweet little ditty, hey? Producer, when you're ready, take us to a break. Let's clear the air, and when we get back from the break, we're going to get into more text and continue reading from the article, Drop China Deal.
Get ready for the biggest football game of the year, Super Bowl 60. We have the best seat in the house for you. Join Star 106.5 All-Star Team live at Anthony's on Paradise Island on Super Bowl Sunday, February 8th, from 2 to 6 p.m. Enjoy giant screens, delicious fun food, ice-cold Kalig Bear specials, prizes and surprises nonstop. It's the place to be for Super Bowl Sunday. Anthony's on Paradise Island. Watch the Patriots take on the Seahawks.
Touchdown, Seahawks!
The Star 106.5 All-Star Team will be there to cheer you on from 2 to 6 p.m. It's the biggest Sunday of the year for the biggest game of the year, Super Bowl 60, live at Anthony's on Paradise Island. Don't miss it.
The Patriots take the lead.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The following is a paid political message. That was a paid political message.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
LA's fine sunshine most of the time. And the feeling is laid back. Palm trees swaying, rents are low. These things that I don't think about as I'm making my way back. But I'm a New York City born and raised nowadays.
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Boy, look here. My producer know how to soothe my soul and calm me right down. See, y'all don't understand Obear. That's Obear right there. When that man starts singing that song, everybody calm right down and start listening. But the song in the break, it's a paid political ad by Veronica, Dr. Veronica MacGyver. I am impressed. In fact, I've been impressed by MacGyver and a number of members of the COI and their public engagement. From what I've seen just on my own and what people have pointed out to me, I am impressed. At first, I thought the song was going to be Patricia DeVoe because she's a fighter, right? But I love it. I love it. I love it. Congratulations, Dr. MacGyver. It's a good move. All right, they go back to the text line. The text says, Marvin Dames actually verified that a real person made the allegations and it warranted value enough for it to make it pass. We don't know. Okay, this is what the text says. Marvin Dames actually verified that a real person made the allegations, comma. I think that's true. I think that was in the paper. The rest, I don't know. But I remember an indictment, though it ended in a negotiated. I'm not reading that. I'm going to save it because maybe after I read it 17 times, I'll understand it. Please tell Mr. Ambassador Walker, build a Florida Memorial Hospital here in New Providence. We will be thankful. If I could rephrase that, if it ain't of the quality of Florida Memorial or better, don't even think about it. That's what you say. I like that. The Brits wanted to build a hospital, and what happened to that? I think we were told that they never actually made an offer, or Darvill said, we were unaware of that. See, because here's the thing. We're dying. People are dying. My friend lost her mother in the last set of protests. This is real. This ain't just politics. People are not statistics, right? People are not policy. We cannot afford to tarry, to stumble, to wait. We cannot afford to allow China and the U.S. to play proxy war in our country. If Britain wanted to facilitate or assist us in building a hospital, they would have made it clear. If the U.S. was serious about assisting or facilitating us building a hospital, they would have made it clear. Mr. Walker would have brought the bag of money and put it on the table to show us how serious they are. There would have been a signing ceremony organized by the U.S. to say, hey, you don't have to sign, but we are showing you that we are ready to facilitate you because we see the need in the country and how it will impact Americans working here, Americans living here, and Americans visiting here. They could build a hospital quick. The former senator's a text. The former senator was loyal to the former party leader, and that is her right to do so. She did, however, lose convincingly last election in an established FNM seat. She doesn't yet have the likability to win against the incumbent, so why run her again in that constituency, loyalty or not? I wish I had that paper on me. I just have to clear my bag, else I'll be walking around here with papers all day. I'm trying to see the nominations again. Who got the nomination for Seabreeze? I'm looking at the paper right now. Oh, that already happened. Was it Heather Hunt? Oh, no, Heather Hunt got Elizabeth, I think. Who got the seat for Seabreeze? And will they make a better run? See, because if Miller Bryce, she's Seabreeze, if she's such a formidable opponent, who you expect to beat her? Who you expect to beat her, and then if that's the case, why not treat it like the PLP is treat St. Anne's? Use it as a developmental league, as opposed to the Senate. See, that could be why people have expectations, because the Senate is the pinnacle. The Senate is the pinnacle, except for 73-1A that tells you that the prime minister is the chief. I like to call that the dictator clause. Text says, you are very trusting of your government that they will tell you everything. Me? Me trusting in the government text? I'm glad you laugh at the end there. I'll be honest with you. Wait till they build a new specialty hospital and it turns out it's not a specialty hospital. It's just a regular hospital. But you have to say it's a specialty hospital for maternal needs and women because that's where the funding is available because your birth rates are in the slumps. Let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Aaron?
Yes.
They ain't paving in front of the U.S. Embassy yet?
No.
And he's talking about the hospital. Why? I mean, it's horrendous and it's like a big debt.
Yeah.
They can't figure out, the government can't figure out, I mean, the U.S. Embassy right there. America's trying to wake with us, but you, I blame Fred Mitchell for this, you know.
Why would you blame Fred Mitchell? Why would you blame for? Okay, Jack, caller, thank you very much for your call. We're not blaming Fred yet. I could blame him for plenty of things, but I'm not sure if he can take the blame for this one. Here's a text. Aaron, they always say politics is a dirty game and there's no time for crying publicly for politicians. We empathize with Senator Seymour and we know the passion she has as a young woman. We need to rally behind these newer ratified persons as Seymour requested. We got another woman to balance the Senate. Aaron, you could have been appointed to balance the room because you have the knowledge to benefit all of us. We will stay prayed up. Look here, let's stay prayed up. Because I also have another wife. I don't like the strategy of to ensure that you have a woman MP, you run two women against each other. That way, whoever win, you know they could be a woman. I don't know if I like that. I don't know if that's the strategy that we are going for. And yes, I agree. We have to support the newly ratified people. What if they become an MP and they don't know what to do? We have to support them. We just have to. Can't rely on the parties to support them. Morning, Aaron. We allowed numbers guys to use illegal funds. Stick a pin there. We're still trying to determine the scope, right, of illegality. And whether these individuals were able to benefit from a loophole that was allowed to exist in the law until public sentiment changed. Yeah? Let's be very careful with our language. Epstein files now have me thinking deep. I can't read the rest of this text on here. The texter says, that is nonsense. Last election was a swing election. All but seven FNMs lost convincingly. Some in established FNM seats. Did Long Island change? Did St. Anne's change? Travis Robinson was a fluke in that seat. He may... Right? It's no real indictment on him per se. Right? If we gotta see, if we're gonna play party politics, then we gotta understand party politics. Anyway, we are all out of time. I got through all the text today. And let me just end the show by saying this. Yes, I'm concerned. I'm not just concerned that my commentary may impact me. I'm concerned that it may impact the country. Right? But at this point, at this precipice that we're standing on, we cannot afford to wait for foreign jurisdictions to tell us what we can and cannot do with our health care. Your obligation is to the citizens you volunteered to work on the behalf of. We employ you to keep this country together for us. Yankee Visa? What you'll do for a Yankee Visa? Will you keep your citizens alive for a Yankee Visa? Anyway, you guys, I'm gonna stop talking. I gotta go and do some chalking. Go into the workshop. Go make another t-shirt. I can see y'all soon. Leaving you in good hands. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.